Welcome to Quantum of Solace with David Robertson and I'm Al Smith from the Solace Centre for Public Christianity.
Well, we keep our promises and we said that we would talk about Europe and we will probably talk about Europe all the way up until the Euro referendum. Until you will buy when there comes a time for making your mind.
Oh, listeners, I'm so sorry for putting that into your brains. But there we go. Making your mind up, Europe. David, the EU referendum.
Which is, for the benefit of our listeners who do not know, a referendum that the British government is holding of British citizens to see whether we should leave, which is known as Brexit, or should remain in the European Union. There are different Christian views about this, but perhaps it would be helpful if we just introduced some basic background.
The EU's been here virtually all my life, so I've kind of not known anything different, but it sprung out of various EU institutions that were created after the Second World War to try to avoid a repetition of World War One, World War Two within Europe.
Yeah, you had the European Coal and Steel Community, which was initially six countries. And it was to encourage cooperation between countries. Now, depending on who you ask, if you are on the British side, you tend to see it as an economic union.
Yeah.
However, there was a understandable movement amongst the French and Germans to ensure that Europe did not go to war again.
So they're interested in a more ever closer political union.
Well, some people would say that's what they were and that's what they still want. Others would still talk about the Holy Roman Empire being re-established.
We're not getting into biblical prophecy.
Yeah, but no, not in the Catholic sense. In the, for example, there's an article in Prospect magazine which says this is what we need, the breaking down of national boundaries. Now, whether that is going to continue, whether what's happening right now, we don't know. Of course, I'm old enough to remember the first Euro referendum. And I can actually remember weeping when we decided to join, because at that point I was strongly opposed. Though I would agree, certainly, with the aims. You know, you want to prevent war and so on.
Okay, let's start somewhere. Let's look at this, say, from the perspective of business. There's a bit of a narrative developing in the British media that small businesses want Britain to leave and big businesses want Britain to stay.
Well, what you've got is, I think there is an element of truth in it. What you've got, for example, is a Times letter signed by 36 FTSE 100 bosses who say, you know, it'd be disastrous to leave. What's interesting is, if you just do any kind of research into it, their 36 corporations had spent 21.3 million euros lobbying the EU and received back 120 million euros in grants. So they've got a vested interest
in that. But the Christian worldview tells us that we're living in a fallen world and that every aspect of society is affected by sin. That includes politics, that includes business. And I mean, humans, I mean, fundamentally, we're self-centered creatures. We're naturally selfish. There's something inside all of us that when we're coming to a political decision that asks, what's in it for me? And, you know, businesses, they're no exception to that.
But Al, you just said, let's look at it from a business perspective. And I think that's the wrong place to begin anyway.
Even a member of the public will look at it, you know, what's in it for me? What's the impact going to be on jobs?
No, and if they do, they're wrong. Because you shouldn't be thinking about what's in it for me. You've got to have wider principles than that. So I think an awful lot of people in Great Britain are thinking, what does this really matter? Actually, this referendum is more important than the Scottish one.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I think what I want to encourage listeners to do is to consider the whole question of the European Union, pro and anti, not just from an economic point of view. You must consider it from an economic point of view. That's part of it. But also from a political point of view, from a democracy point of view, from a moral point of view, from a religious point of view.
From a legal point of view as well.
All of these things get tied in. We'll maybe come back to have a look at these different things. They've boarded the doors. All the windows we looked from before. They gave me no choice. You see, I'm calling out, but they've taken my voice. They gave no time when they tore out the roots of our home. You're no longer mine, but I'm with you wherever I go.
David, this next story is one that we pointed out in Newsbrief last Monday. Newsbriefs are short weekly news digests that people can print off and share offline for prayer. And if any of the listeners want to receive that by email every week, just go to the Solace website at solace-cpc.org and you'll find the registration link in the footer of the website. But it's the story of Port Talbot in Wales. It's the largest steelwork in Britain, and it's about to be closed by its owners, Tata Steel, along with all their other UK operations, and there's going to be thousands of jobs lost.
15,000 jobs and maybe tens of thousands more in surrounding industries. Now, why is this happening? Steel is so important. Every major country needs its own steel industry. And let's not blame Tata, because Tata have invested millions in steel in Britain, and they're pulling out because they can't make it work anymore.
I mean, is the argument that actually it can be produced cheaper elsewhere in the world because of lower wage costs?
I'm going to give you two arguments, I think, that are key. Number one is China. There's a glut of steel in the world market, and China is offloading steel cheaply onto people. Now, the Americans have put tariffs of 256% on Chinese steel. The Chinese themselves have put large tariffs on European steel and American steel. Why has the European Union... Now, you'd think this could be an anti-EU argument. Do you know why the European Union has not put these tariffs on?
I don't, but I mean, is it something to do with competition law or...
No, it's to do with Britain. Britain has vetoed putting these tariffs. The EU want to, but Britain has vetoed.
Because we want cheap steel?
No. We are scared of the Chinese. The Chinese got a massive investment in Hinkley, the nuclear power plant. And we've signed trade deals with China, and we need Chinese money. The Chinese own a considerable part of Britain, and we cannot afford to upset the Chinese. Huge interest there, and it means our government has backed off. There is another issue as well, and that is if you are a major company like Tata, and you spend £1,000 on electricity, and of course steel is a huge energy consumer, how much of that £1,000 is paid in green energy taxes? Do you know?
No idea.
£270.
Or tax the government.
Is green energy tax. Energy is the number one cost in producing steel. So we're cutting our own throats.
What happens when our own steel industry is gone?
And then the Chinese bump up the price.
Yeah.
We're completely stuffed with that.
It's short-termist.
It's also the worst side of the globalization aspect of things. Why are Britain being like this? I mean, I'd first of all thought, well, look, it's the European Union, and it appears as though it was Britain that vetoed the EU putting tariffs on Chinese steel.
Okay.
It looks as though George Osborne is prepared to sacrifice British steel workers in order to protect the wider interests of Britain. And particularly, everything comes back to this. Ever since the days of Gordon Brown, the whole British economy has been based upon the city of London.
But that's building a house in the sand, isn't it? I mean, that's a glaring structural weakness, and all it needs is a big enough scandal in the financial markets, and that's the kind of revenue stream that can dry up overnight. And,
unfortunately, that's where huge amounts of our gross national product comes from. Let's come on to something that interests us because it shows an aspect of our culture. And sadly, here in Scotland, here in my old alma mater in Edinburgh University, hands up, Al, if you've heard of Edinburgh University.
I'm not putting my hands up. You might say the magic words, safe space, and I'll get booted out of this studio.
22-year-old girl called Imogen Wilson. She was threatened with expulsion from a student union meeting after raising her arms.
She had a safe space complaint lodged against her because she lifted her arms because she was disagreeing with someone else who was speaking in the meeting.
Yes, and she got into trouble again because she also shook her head.
Oh, dear.
And apparently this is breaching safe space rules. Honestly, I read this and I thought, no, it's a wind-up, it's a joke, it's satire. This is for real. This is Edinburgh University. This is some of the brightest and best in the whole country. And there's a complaint brought against a student for raising her hand, not in a clenched fist, not in a Nazi arm salute.
Probably an exasperation.
No, raising her hand, excuse me, I'd like to say something, and that is, breaking safe space and then shaking her head with a decision. I'm sorry. But, I mean, I'm not even sure I remotely know where to go with that.
Look, it's just one of the latest ways people have got of trying to shut down any opinion that doesn't agree with their own. Journalists like Brendan O'Neill from Spike magazine has been getting on about this in student campuses for years, and it's they call it the weaponization of safe space.
There is a wider point. There's a journalist called Danny Garavelli.
Yeah, she was writing about this story in the Scotland on Sunday newspaper last week. There's an altered version of her article in the Scotsman website.
Listen to this quote. A raised hand at a university meeting led to the latest safe spaces row, but is rejecting, quote, unacceptable, unquote, views really a major threat to our freedom of speech? Now stop. Is rejecting unacceptable views a threat to our freedom of speech?
Unacceptable to whom?
See, I told you to be silent. Now, you've spoken again, and that's aggression, Al, and you're invading my safe space.
Just to clarify, the journalist there is saying that this isn't a big deal. This isn't a threat to freedom of speech.
That's a rhetorical question. And it's saying, actually, the students have got a point. And, you know, basically, if you're in a university that's dominated by white male Protestants, inverted commas, which is not, obviously.
Well, hang on. What country are we talking about?
I know. But never mind. That's where it comes from. This is the world in which we live, in which our future educators, teachers, politicians, business people seriously think that banning unacceptable views is not a threat to freedom of speech. That's a journalist in a major Scottish newspaper. We're not supposed to judge outside, but if they claim to be in the body, we let them have it. Rebuke them sharply, that's what God commanded. When you speak the whole truth, it's true, everybody gets disappointed. They say don't put your mouth on men of God, they say touch, not his anointing. All I hear is cliches taken out of context. What am I to do?
What am I to do, man?
Should I listen to scripture? Or should I follow you? Have you heard of Creflo Dollar?
Yeah, I know who Creflo Dollar is.
If I want to believe God for a $65 million plane, you cannot stop me. You cannot stop me from dreaming.
For anyone who doesn't know, Creflo Dollar is a TV evangelist and a megachurch pastor from Atlanta in Georgia. And he's going to be coming on a tour of Scotland this summer that's been organised by Destiny Church in Glasgow and Edinburgh. Now, news of this made the secular press here in Scotland last week. There was a story in the National newspaper that raised an awful lot of interest. David, what happened?
I was phoned up and asked, would I be willing to say something? And I said, yes. Would you say it on the record? I said, absolutely yes.
David, you shouldn't be disagreeing with other Christians in public on this. You should be going quietly to your brother in Christ. And
because it makes Christians look bad, yeah. And because so on. Well, I tell you what makes Christians look bad. He's a false teacher. We have to strongly warn, not quietly go, well, I don't really like his methods, or I'm not for this, or whatever. What he teaches is not the Christian gospel. Yeah, what he teaches is health and wealth, prosperity. And here's the thing, he's fleecing the poor as well as the stupid middle class and rich in order to make money for himself, and he's using the gospel to do it. There are those, says the Apostle Paul, who think that the gospel is a means to make yourself wealthy. No, for Creflo Dollar it is.
No, I mean, the big problem with the prosperity gospel is not the gospel part, it's the prosperity part that they tag on. That corrupts and perverts the true gospel. I mean, it's blasphemous because it misrepresents God and what Jesus actually achieved when he died on the cross. But it's dangerous also precisely because it's got enough truth in it to see that Christians who are maybe spiritually immature or who haven't really been taught well get caught up in it.
It's the equation of material wealth with spiritual prosperity, and it's the view that all Christians should be wealthy, and if you're poor, there's something sinful about you.
And that's where it becomes really destructive.
Yes, this is spiritual pornography. I know there are many good people in Destiny, but what are you doing bringing this guy to Scotland who is an embarrassment to the gospel?
This is Peter Anderson, the lead pastor of Destiny Church in Edinburgh.
I guess the question I would have to anyone who's got a question about Creflo Dollar is, have you listened to him? Have you listened to what he says? Have you listened to his teaching? I've been listening to his podcast recently. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, really, really great teaching. And I'd encourage you, don't just pick up on what other people have said about someone without actually taking time to research them yourself.
Well, I guess my question to Peter Anderson and to the other leaders of Destiny would be is, have you actually listened to Creflo Dollar's sermon from last week, the one that he posted on his website on Wednesday the 13th of April?
It's atrocious. Now, I put a link to it on my blog. I quoted from it on the blog. but it is from the pit of hell. Now, you can say, oh, well, he preaches the gospel because he says that Jesus died for our sins and we need to be born again. And if you come and hear him, it'll be wonderful. I don't care. God can speak through a donkey. It doesn't mean we all have to be donkeys. Look, all the Lord's people, I don't care what denomination, I don't care whether you're Pentecostal, Church of Scotland, whatever, Catholic or whatever. And by the way, that's another story. We'll talk about Catholicism next time. But I care that we follow Christ. And if we follow Christ, we should not be taken in by a charlatan who is coming here preaching fundamentally an anti-gospel.
I think it would be helpful to many Christians if we could maybe put something on the Solace website about the prosperity gospel, why it's blasphemous, why it's so dangerous. So, listeners, we'd certainly appreciate your prayers with regards to that. But to mark Creflo Dollar's upcoming visit, I'm going to play out this programme with a different song. That's all we've got time for today. We've ranged from the European Union to Creflo Dollar. And if you want to follow up on any of the links we've talked about in the programme, just visit solace-cpc.org and look on the blog for Quantum 63.
There'll be many, many more subjects next week. Any questions or comments that you've got, please keep them coming in. It's great to get so many. Sorry we can't respond to them all, but God bless you and see you next week. Pump the brakes, stop sign. You saw the sign, now you ace of base. Preacher saw them dollar signs. He on that paper chase, stuffing profits in his pockets. A wolf with a sheep's appearance. And the reason he's making that scratch, huh? It's cause those ears itch, pimping out the gospel. A